Welcome to the super group. Yay. This is the podcast where we take an unlikely group of special guests from the world of music, comedy, whatever. And then me and Alex, who are like a pretty likely couple of people from those worlds.
We belong.
We all get together and we write and record an original song over the course of 7 days, which you will hear.
Yes. And we debut that unto you at the end of the very episode.
Unto you, dear Lord.
Unto you.
This week, we're so excited. We're breaking format yet again, guys. Episode 4, we're just like breaking all the rules. We do not have two special guests.
Nope.
We have three special guests. One of them is not physically in this room right now because he had to go.
He had to go.
This was kind of a misdirect. But you will hear from him. He will be great. But right now, the people that are here, you know my first guest here from his amazing role on the hit show Orphan Black. You also might have seen him recently in a couple episodes of The Handmaid's Tale. Very topical. He also has a show called Carter, which, wait, we can't see it in America, though, right?
Who knows? By the time this comes out, it might be just coming out in America.
Americans, get on it! It's Christian Brune!
Oh, hey, hello, hi!
Hi!
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming here and bringing your musical talents.
My pleasure.
And your comedic talents.
And that voice.
Oh, my God. You guys are going to hear this sweet baby angel's soulful voice, and you're going to be like, why have I been watching this guy on TV? I just want to hear him sing.
I'm honored.
You should be.
You're the best.
No, you're awesome. And also, we have the drummer for the band Dr. Dog. He's also one third of the band Lithuania, and his solo album Palisades is available now everywhere. It's Eric Slick.
Hi.
Yay. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thank you.
Eric, I heard a fun fact about you that you told me earlier today, and that is you are somehow related to Grace Slick.
Yeah, my cousin Jerry married Grace in 1959, and then she went on to become the Jefferson Airplane and then the Starship.
Because I said, can I, in your intro, say it's Eric Slick, no relation to Grace Slick, and you said I could not do that.
I said, aha, no, I'm related to Grace. Not by blood, but by marriage.
Damn, that's more than I got with her.
Hey, it's okay.
Raise your hand if you're related to Grace Slick in any way. Only, whoa, Christian.
Shocker, so am I.
What?
What?
Yeah, she's my grandma.
What?
Wouldn't that be
that
crazy? That's not true. That is so not true.
Okay, yeah.
I apologize to my grandmothers. I'm sorry, Bestemore.
I still never got to meet her, though. That's like the big bummer. You know, like,
yeah.
I want to hang out, ask her stories. Like, what was that like?
She didn't teach you music?
Nothing. Nothing. I had to learn Everclear Santa Monica on the Tab site.
Oh,
man.
I had to learn on Tabs
from
my mom.
You had to learn from Tab.
So, Christian, you are a mandolin player.
Yes, I play a little bit of mando on this track.
Yep. You, mm-hmm. you sing like an
sing
angel.
I sing like a petit ange.
Wait. And what else do you play?
My first instrument was violin. I started playing when I was 3. Because I saw one on TV and wouldn't stop talking about it for a week or two. And finally, my parents were like, we should get this annoying kid a violin. So I started playing violin. And then I started playing, along with violin, I started playing clarinet. Because I wanted to be a sax player. And you start with clarinet and that makes you a better sax player. And then I moved into sax. I briefly did soprano sax because this was like right after the Kenny G phase.
Yeah.
And it was a big mistake. Trumpet became my main instrument. I went to military school on a trumpet scholarship, and I studied military music. And I think almost all my main instruments have ended up in an episode of TV at one point or another.
Yay!
I played trumpet in an episode of Murdoch Mysteries. I played mandolin in the last season of Orphan Black in a scene. And then, Carter, the new show, I play fiddle in an episode.
Damn. And Eric, so you just do a lot. So I'm just
tired permanently.
You're constantly tired.
I'm just so tired.
Well, grab a coffee, buddy, because I just got started.
Well, so you play drums, and you also told us that you play keys and a little guitar, and so you created the backbone to this whole song.
Yes, I did, and I created it with the intention. I did it for you. I did it for us, really.
So generous. You sent us a couple of demo ideas you were kicking around when you knew you would be on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one that Tawny and I really, really liked was Supergroup 1.
Supergroup 1.
Supergroup 1.
Right? First was, thought, best thought.
Yeah, .mp3. It was great. It sounded a little like this.
Yeah, because I'd been kicking around with the melody on top of it for like the last 2 weeks or something like that. And then it was just like, this is beyond me. I need to bring other people to the table. What a perfect opportunity.
What a perfect chance. You also said that you said a pardon my junkyard approach in it because you were like recording on the road.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you doing this while you were so busy touring and whatnot. What is your junkyard approach?
My junkyard approach is that I just will start playing a beat to a click track and then, you know, that's usually the genesis of anything that I do because I am primarily a drummer. It's like, okay, what's the groove for this song? What's going to sound cool on top of it? And I have this little portable Yamaha keyboard that I was using. That's what that little, you know, squelchy, squishy sound is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the, you know, you can, I pitched it down, did some bass and had this little like portable recorder thing. And that's how I do it.
So the first thing I noticed was this really cool drum loop that kicked off the first measure of the track, and it was this guy. So I'm like, okay, I brought it into my workstation, and I said, okay, let's just make a loop out of this. And that became the foundation of all the demos. And then I loved the chords that Eric used, and that was, what were you doing there?
E-flat to C minor.
E-flat to C minor. And then eventually we lifted it up a step for vocal and whatnot reasons.
Well, for two reasons. One, because we knew we wanted Christian playing mandolin, and E flat is just like
it was tough to find chords that were easy to play.
The neck of a mandolin is the smallest thing I've ever seen.
It's tiny.
I don't know how you're meant to get more than one finger on it.
Especially when I have sausage digits.
Oh, and we came up with a fun term that we need for new mandolins going forward.
I wrote it down. We need them to create a man's dolin.
A man's dolin.
A larger mandolin.
Yeah.
A man's dolin.
For a man to play.
Yeah. A man's dolin.
Very gendered instrument in 2018. It's exactly what the world needs.
Let's gender this acoustic instrument.
The man's dolin. So Eric had these real fun chords. Like a real that nice, like kind of minor.
I only play the piano.
I was going to come up with a lady one, but my brain isn't working that fast.
I don't know.
So
a Glockenspiel.
Yeah.
Oh. That was bad.
Ukulele-she?
Ukulele-she.
Ukulele-she.
Because at the supergroup, we say ukulele.
Ukulele.
It's the proper way to say ukulele. And then I took his chord progressions, but I put down my own like kind of Wurlitzer sound and stabbing bass. And so we ended up with this thing.
Oh, fuck, I love it.
I was into this when you sent this over.
As soon as you sent this, my neck started snapping, like funk neck started, chicken neck busted out.
That actually makes me feel really good because I was constantly refreshing my phone waiting for Eric to be like, what did you do with my music?
I got it and I was so psyched because I was like, yes, you gave it space.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I didn't like about my demo is like it felt too claustrophobic and you gave it space.
Oh, thank you.
Very happy.
So lyrically, we had started this by asking a question to our primary comedic guest, you know, open mic.
Oh, it's supposed to be funny? Oh, shit.
No, okay. I mean, I think of you as a comedian.
No, I'm going to start being funny here.
Which is funny, when I look at your IMDb, I'm like, this dude does mostly dramas. But I think because of the Comedy Bang Bang universe and like seeing you around this Earwolf scene, I just think of you as a comedian.
But I mean, you're not wrong because I think within a lot, minus like Handmaid's Tale, which is there's not much humor in that series at all. But for the most part, I work in a realm of comedy within a drama. Like, I think that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't consider myself a comedian because I think of all the people that I get to see here at Earwolf, and I think, oh, God, what am I doing here? I'm such a fraud, which kind of goes into the theme of this song a little bit.
Yeah. So I had asked you the question. I knew that you were Canadian because we're friends. And I said, as a Canadian, do you have an anecdote about the first time you noticed you were different from Americans or like a first trip to the U.S. story?
Yeah.
So give us you can paraphrase the story that you kind of give us.
I went to military school in the U.S. for high school and I never realized I had an accent and people like pointed that out immediately. I had no idea. I mean, high school can be rough and military school can be even rougher. And they're just looking for any chink in your armor to get in and find a way to, make some space. And they just found, you know, being Canadian was where I was different. I had different words that I used.
What was one of the examples? Cutlery?
Cutlery instead of silverware.
Which is also a word we use. Yeah. So
I've asked for cutlery before at a restaurant. People are like, excuse me? Cutlery, cutlery.
Those people are being jerks.
Oh, silverware.
And those people are bad Americans.
Yeah, maybe. Washroom and bathroom is another one.
I say washroom.
Really?
Not an ounce Canadian.
That's crazy. You're the first ever in the history of the world, sir.
I doubt that, but thank you. I'll take it.
And just like anything they could find. Or if I said, I would say sorry a lot instead of sorry.
Sorry. Sure.
That is one we make fun sorry. Of you guys for. Yeah. It's really low.
I would drop sorry an in a boot. I've trained myself out of that accent. They in theater school, years later, they train that out of you. Otherwise, you mm-hmm. won't get any work. So I've lost it all, guys. I'm American now.
I think you talked about also a drill sergeant or a...
Yeah, I had a sergeant who used to... So they'd make you stand at attention, which means you're standing straight. You're not looking. You're looking straight ahead. You can't look around. You can't move. That's called the position of attention in the most basic form. So he used to come in my room at night before TAPS, which is lights out at 10 p.m., and he would put me at attention and then would just kind of get in my face and just, you know, call me like a fucking Canuck and go back to your country and just kind of like whisper in my ears and just get the fuck out of my country, go back to your country, like constantly.
That's and he did so it, insane.
Like a lot at night. And he thought it was funny. He thought it was a joke, I think. And then one night, I think he just got me in a wrong mood. And I blew up on him and just started yelling at him. And he got in trouble and he never bothered me again.
Oh, my God.
Which is great.
God.
So I stood up for myself. But I could have gotten into a lot of shit or got the shit kicked out of me for doing that to a sergeant as a private.
But what it did, the story for me, it really spoke to like, because I knew that having Mike on this track, I knew that he was going to write his own verse, right? And then I selfishly knew that I wanted to sing with you guys. So I was like, well, I think I'll write a verse. And maybe if we each kind of come at it from our own feelings of outsider and outsiderhood. So I decided to take a pass at the lyrics, and then I invited everyone to tweak them or adjust them based on what they were going to be singing to personalize it to them.
So Eric's track also had this bridge or this kind of bridge thing going on.
That was my Paul McCartney extravaganza part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in the spirit of chopping stuff, I took that and I kept this part, and then we chopped this four times.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Threw that dumb slowdown sound that Logic has at the end that's everywhere. But you know what? I think we're going to keep it.
I was wondering how you did that. Now I know.
Yeah.
A little slowdown Logic.
For $200, you can produce the world.
The two things I really like about this that Alex did, even in that just that first demo and what will probably stay and end up in the final track, is so the stabbing bass has like all the attack that you need, right? It almost like thematically ties to this idea of like, quit fucking pushing me around. Like I almost imagine this like finger in your chest, Christian, like just someone being like, it's got that stabbing quality. And or maybe it's even like you pushing back. And then you've got this dreamy Wurlitzer sound. Oh my God, just give me a whirly sound all day, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm a whirly over Rhodes guy.
Yeah, okay. Same.
I respect
I like
that
a good
about
Rhodes.
You.
I like a good Rhodes too, but
you know,
I'm a whirly guy.
There's not that many of
I'm
us.
I'm a whirly bird.
I love a whirly. Can I just say I like a whirly God. In theory, but I do think a Rhodes sounds better against most female voices. I'll
really?
Say it. Come at me, internet.
Whoa.
No.
I don't
never,
think you're
going to
get a lot of
about?
Internet.
I think there's a weird, there's a different timbre to it, and I'm not really even using the right words, but like without hearing them side by side, I feel like there's a resonance that, especially for my voice, which is kind of like, like up here.
It's a Fran Drescher.
I've sung against a Rhodes and a Whirly, and even though I go, I want the Whirly sound, I've had producers be like, you need the Rhodes. Like, you need a little more mid kind of weird warmth, like darkness almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in case you're not like a deep audio nerd and don't know the difference between these two kind of obscure electric pianos that we're talking about, a Rhodes, a Fender Rhodes, a pretty, maybe one of the best examples that I can think of that sound can be heard in Paul Simon's Still Crazy.
I met my old lover on the street last night. She seems so glad.
It's just like buttery and warm. I love that sound. I love that song too. And then a great example of Wurlitzer is this song, I Never Loved a Man by Aretha Franklin.
You're no good, heartbreaker. You're a liar and you're a cheat.
Also very good. And fun fact, I actually got to sit at that Wurlitzer in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, where Spooner Oldham recorded I Never Loved a Man for Aretha Franklin at Fame Studios. You guys, I talk about Muscle Shoals all the time. I know I never shut up about it, but now you know what it's like to live in my house. It's just Muscle Shoals talk all the time.
Well, and then we were blessed to have Christian come over for a play date, which we've been trying to do on more recent episodes, you know.
Just to have friends. Which is to say,
you know what, that made such a difference to me because I haven't recorded music in a long time. I was in a band for years with my buds.
What kind of band?
We were like a funk, rock, reggae, soul, ska party band.
And what's the name?
Franklin's Fault.
Oh. Are there YouTube videos?
Yeah. We had some cool opportunities, like we played CBGBs in the like basement, like indie band bar. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of stuff in Canada and all over the place. And then we rebranded and came out as the Touchables for a bit for like one gig.
I like that.
Yeah, it's my favorite band name of all time, the Touchables. But I hadn't recorded in a long time, and I really, really, really miss playing music because music is a huge part of my life. So I was nervous. I was really nervous. And you guys loosened me up and you guys were so confident, especially just in building the song, rehearsing together. Mm. It made me relax and like, oh, okay, I'm in good hands. And I wasn't nervous coming in today. I was just like, great. We've got a song. We're ready to go. We're going to have some fun and see what comes out of it.
Well, I'm shocked to even hear that you might be nervous because when you came over, like I was totally impressed with all of your skills and abilities. You came over and we had tracked down a mandolin and we're just noodling around and you put down for the demo recording that we were sending out like this really nice mandolin part. And it just has like, it's had such a warmth to it, even this like silly recording over it. And we decided it would go over the verse.
This is still the demo, but we might use this.
Yeah.
You also came in with your wonderful instrument that's located inside your body.
Nuts.
Yeah, my nuts.
Yeah, you brought your nuts to my house. It was rude.
Sorry. I didn't mean your testicles. What I meant was I believe it is nuts how well you can sing.
Oh, thank you. It's the instrument that I'm most comfortable with because I'm a classically trained musician when it comes to the instruments that I play, and so I'm used to just written music in front of me and reading music. So I'm not good at improv with an instrument, and I'm not good at just riffing with things. It's something that I'm working on or would like to work on the most. But I'm comfortable doing it with my voice because you just do it, and it requires nothing except your heart, I guess. I don't know. Ooh, that was cheesy.
Wow.
Oh, that was so fucking cheesy.
I don't know. I think Eric's into it.
No, I'm so into that. And you sang beautifully.
But what one thing that we did do, we were like, we need a chorus because we had this this guy, the... But then we kept taking it back to this afterwards. So we're like, it needs another place to go. So we went back to the source material.
Yeah. And I had just gotten so enamored with this one chord change that you always did, which at the time was, what was it before we transposed it?
It would have been
C to B flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Or B flat to
C minor to C minor.
90% of your audience just tuned out.
Is this good content? Yeah.
I'm literally like doing piano moves with my hands and no one can see
it. You look like a T-Rex.
I don't even play the piano and I'm doing it.
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
It goes B flat to like that or the, what is it?
Well, actually, let's just play it.
Just play it. I'll tell you what it is. What is that? It's an F. So it's F minor.
Do you have perfect pitch?
I do.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I know.
Wow, you heard it here first, perhaps.
Perhaps. Yeah, I don't tell any. I'm not going to walk into a room
you
and be like,
son of
hey,
a
everybody,
bitch.
Guess what?
But you'll say it on a podcast.
But I'll say it on
a podcast. No shame.
But the thing about perfect pitch is, like, when I was a teenager and people found out, they'd be like, they'd like smack a bottle on my head, be like, what note is it? What note is it? Yeah. I'm like, it's a B.
So we grabbed that section because we loved it. And I wanted to turn it into a chorus. I also, I was really like loving the fact that we weren't trying to write a pop song. Cause we sort of talked about like genres that we like. Mike said he was really comfortable in rap. Eric straight up said like, I'm a little rock boy. I like doing rock and roll, but I'll do whatever. And I feel like we were all kind of game for it to be a little soulful.
Yeah.
So I was feeling very free that we didn't have to write anything even close to like a pop song where you kind of feel like the chorus always has to lift. Ooh. We've talked about that on this show before where you like have to keep going up and up to this holy grail of like the chorus, which is in the stratosphere. So I was feeling okay that we could like kind of dip down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and also the soul impulse made so much sense after Christian was just laying down vocals in the playdate, mm-hmm. and they sounded like this. I mean, come on.
What is
come
love? On. Baby, don't hurt me.
Listen to this
wait
man.
For this part.
Yes, put your children to sleep with that voice.
Or make more.
Everybody.
Yeah, I need make to more. Make some children first.
That was lovely.
It was going to be a soul song. And we're like, do we need lyrics for that? No.
And I was assuming yes. And Tawny right off the bat was like, I'm feeling a chorus with no lyrics. I'm like, unheard of in the land of music. But that
no,
was
fuck it.
That the line you wrote, the lyric leading into the chorus, I've got stories, but I'll just... And then you just launch into it is such a nice...
Which was Alex's idea, actually, because he was like, I'm cool with the chorus being nonverbal, but we needed...
Yeah, I was just saying, like, it would be cool to get something that connected the O's to the last thing we heard in the verse.
Yep.
It's like, something that brings us into, oh, that part, you know, like...
Which is so smart, because sometimes songs just, I feel like, fill time with soulfulness and just, like, O's for no point.
Yeah. Right,
and
like when we had you for 15 minutes riff on top of the chorus.
Which is fine, because we were just trying to find, a melody or whatever, but I think giving it a reason just makes it so much more worth it.
Yeah. Before you left for the day, we had cut together a chorus. We had your vocal. We had two lines from Tawny, one that would ultimately go to Eric, and it was dope. Dare you to not have this stuck in your head.
When we come back, more The Supergroup.
How they did it in Motown, a room this size.
Yeah.
This is the new Motown. Your wolf is the new Motown.
So you actually do have to work as a receptionist in order to pay off your studio time. I'm so sorry.
So the song was written, and it was time to record the track, and we started with Eric playing the drums like he does. Question I had. So in the second verse, Tawny does something like fit in, like that kind of thing.
Oh,
can we listen to the yeah, it's something in. Like that? It's just to like
it's a good phrasing thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. One of the best things about recording with Tawny and making music with Tawny is that she has such command of her voice and could do so many different things with it. And I think for this song specifically, it's my favorite. Of one of my favorites of her vocal lead performances, because it has such range and dynamics. So she starts out with this very cool, like, sprinkle whisper kind of lighter voice.
Mother tell me something wrong. And know you're really letting me roll off.
And then, boy, does she turn it around and segue us into the next chorus.
You know, you gotta be a sprinkle whisperer in the sheets and a chorus bitch in the out when you're out of bed.
Cupcake in the car, sheet cake at the bar.
Running out of passes. Ow! Well, I've got some stories.
Ooh, I gotta back up.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh,
good.
My God!
So all of these guys are either from Philly or spent a significant amount of time in Philly, which I knew that the word Philly had to appear in the lyrics because of that. And Christian even tailored the lyrics more to his experience.
I put shining shoes and daydreams.
I love it.
Shining shoes. Just because like at school, we did a shitload of like hours and hours of just shining shoes. Shining shoes and daydreams so far away on South Street.
Oh.
Because that was back in like the 90s, that was the cool street. I don't know if it is anymore.
It's
now.
Unfortunately, it's all vape shops now.
Oh, of course.
But it was.
That was the fucking place to
go. From 1970 until 1999, it was the coolest.
It was the birth of cool.
The birth of cool.
Eric, so we also got to listen to one of your solo pieces, Hesitation.
Yes.
The first thing I noticed, because I'm always standing for a man with a lot of range, It was a nice, high, breathy quality, and I was like, I'm going to make these boys sing way up in the stratosphere.
How high do you want the male falsetto? Talking like I always do.
Yeah.
Ooh, all the way up there.
Yeah.
Shit.
Sang it.
I wrote this melody over these verse chords that we had, and I just knew that you and Christian were going to be in this high falsetto unison. And I'm so thrilled with how it turned out.
Thank you. And I was skeptical about it. I was like, I love singing up in falsetto, and I don't do it that often.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. And I was just like, you know what? I put my trust in Tawny. As soon as we started recording the falsetto, I was like, oh.
I knew you guys could do it.
It's so sexy. I was really surprised.
Well, it's like a soulful.
I've never sounded like that before.
Oh, I love it. It came so naturally to you. Well, I could hear it in your voice, and so I just knew that you'd be able to embrace. And you have great pitch, like right off the bat, especially for someone who's been away from music for a while. You're instantly very, like, I sing all the time, and I'm
I sing a lot
flat.
Just in my apartment.
Shannon choosing daydreams. So far away on South Street. You wanna send me packing? Ooh, I wanna smack ya. Oh! Well, I got some stories, but I'll just.
That's the one. If I stood up, I feel like it's kind of a corn riff, but it could, like, I gotta be careful.
Are you ready?
So Eric Slick laid down drums, vocals, but he brought the crown to the jewel to the crown,
the pearl
that made the song
to the oyster.
And that was a guitar pick from Cheap Trick.
I'm gonna use the Cheap Trick pick on this song. The guitarist's son just came to one of our shows and was like, Rick wanted you to have a bunch of these picks, and I was like, I gotta bring this to the session.
Oh yeah.
Because like, I'm only gonna use it on this session. The rest, it's gonna stay at home. Oh, but it's nice. I thought it would be a good omen to have the Cheap Trick energy around here.
Yeah, I did a guitar part that was sort of inspired by Genius of Love by Tom Tom Club. Really like
whoop.
Chickeny and plucky. Like ticker, 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 ticker.
Tom Tom / Talking Heads universe is near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
Because you worked for a long time with Adrian Belew.
Adrian Belew, he was the guitar player on Remain in Light by Talking Heads and also a live record. But Talking Heads have sort of like permeated everything that I do since I was a kid. And then getting to play with Adrian, he gave me so many stories and insights. And I don't think I can ever wash that out of my DNA.
You never need to.
You're never going
to
wash that man out of your hair.
Do not wash man.
I love the stories about that Remaining Light recording session, the way they just like layered everything and then just stripped it away here and there, like carving away at a fine cheese.
Do you want to hear my favorite story though?
Yes.
Please.
Favorite story, I'll be quick. First day of recording, Adrian Belew shows up and he's like trying to get a vibe for David Byrne because they'd never met before. It was just based on recommendation that he got the gig. And he's like, this guy is awfully strange. Like, and then they're hitting it off and everything. And they go to a deli downstairs from the recording studio and they're looking at the menu. And Adrian's like, I bet you David's going to order the tongue sandwich.
No.
And he was like, I bet you that's like, this guy's weird. I bet he's going to order the tongue sandwich. And sure enough, like David's like, one tongue sandwich.
No.
I love the idea that David Byrne is the guy who's going to do the weirdest shit you can think of.
Yeah. He had to own it.
He had to.
Different
time. He didn't even want that tongue sandwich. He was just like, oh, fuck, I'm David Byrne.
He was like, Adrian's here. I better order the tongue.
He's actually a strict vegan.
Yeah, right?
He's eating it and crying. Blood dribbling down his chin.
He's just hiding it in his massive suit.
He does wear
just
that
just slides
everywhere.
The tongue out of the sandwich and just puts in his breast pocket.
Yeah. So let's hear some of that chickeny, Adrian Belew inspired guitar.
Like, and I instantly thought, like, it reminded me of, like, Battles. Like, that sound, like, that.
So I'm a math boy.
Yeah, but, like, it's sloppy tonally, but not in its playing. Like, and that's kind of where the texture comes from, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was going for. A little sloppy.
A
little sloppy tonal math
sloppy
boy.
Sloppy chicken.
Little sloppy math. Quick, what's 2 times 2?
4?
Great.
It's the same as plus, right?
I think so.
Oh, God, we have to cut this out.
2 times.
I'm not a math boy. I'm a prog boy.
You're a little prog boy.
I'm a little
Were you into, like, Dream Theater at all?
Oh, you don't even want to know, man. I mean, my whole upbringing was like, name an odd time signature. And I was like, oh, can I play that? 19 over 16. Oh, joy.
What about Rush?
Oh, my God. Ocean City, New Jersey, 2002. You'd find me in a Rush shirt playing along to Tom Sawyer on the boardwalk. There was an arcade machine called Drumscape where you could like, ooh. It was like proto DDR.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I once got a massage after Geddy Lee and the table was still warm with his body.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh, this is you're getting Canadian. Creepy. Oh, my God. I'm like, why are you bringing up Rush? I'm like, oh, you're Canadian. Like, exactly. Rush is like the Beatles for you.
That's so sad.
I was never a prog person, but then I heard the song Hell's Kitchen, which is an instrumental by Dream Theater.
Yes, it
and
is.
It is stunning.
Stunning is a way to describe it.
And we have a fifth member of our band, right? There's five of us total.
One, two, three, four, five.
We all fully had to point and count. you might know his recent album, Brick Body Kids Still Daydream. It's fantastic if you haven't heard it yet.
Thank you.
You may know him from, at the time of this recording, it's not out yet, but maybe by the time it's released, his show on Comedy Central,
yes,
The New Negroes.
You may know me from the future.
You may know him from being clairvoyant. It's Mike Eagle, Open Mike Eagle.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
Hi, band I see every day when we practice and play shows and stuff.
We're tight.
Mike, thank you for being in our band with us.
Thank you guys for being in a band with me.
We don't have a name for it yet, but we'll get one at the end of
that,
this episode.
Is that
I
how
think.
Band naming works? You just come up with it at the end of a podcast?
Here it does on the supergroup, yes.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mike, you're one of these people like I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be like you.
Okay.
Where
it's pretty easy.
You have a simultaneous career in music and in comedy.
Oh, yeah. My agent likes to call it a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people roll their eyes when you say that.
Yeah, I roll my eyes at him.
We can't say it about ourselves, but I guess our reps can say it.
Yeah, you can only say that if you're wearing a suit and tie.
Yeah. Which you are currently in right now. You sleep in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very wrinkled.
There's pillows sewn inside of it. It's good.
Mike, have you ever worked in a band before?
No, I have not. Oh. I have trouble with rap groups, and that should be easy. But
what's your problem with them?
I am very selfish. There are certain conversations creatively that I just don't want to have.
Sure. Like? You
know, like, I think this song should be about this.
Oh.
And then if somebody disagrees, I'll just leave. Like, I don't want to.
So how did you like this process where I was just like, here's the song, bye?
Well, it was a little confusing, but I felt like it worked out. It seems like everybody is, you know, really cool and chill and talented. And
yeah, I feel like it just like has to tumble together because of the time constraint we put on it. So sometimes it's just like, this is the story we got from Christian. This is the song.
And so you're always the band leader then?
I mean, I guess by default, or Alex, like instrumentally, Alex is the band leader.
Gotcha.
I'm just like the wrangler.
Gotcha.
Well, I would say that you're like the head songwriter. I would say, like, lyrical content always kind of flows through you.
But Eric wrote the core, like, the backbone of the song.
That's true, which means that I was not needed this week.
You were needed.
Come on.
Guys, I did, like, nothing. I just showed up.
Christian, you showed up for our play date. You're the only person who showed up in person.
Yeah, that's true.
Mike, you also have a podcast that you told me not to mention.
I didn't tell you not to mention. I just said it wouldn't be worth it for you to do so.
And when that carrot is dangled in front of me, hey, Tawny, here's something that's not going to pay off. Ooh, do I grab for it? It's called Tights and Fights. It's about wrestling.
Yes, it is about pro wrestling. We discuss what's going on in the expansive world of professional wrestling every week.
I mean, you're also funny people.
Yeah,
so that is part of...
We have a good time.
I bring it up because that's part of the joint comedy and music career that you have going on.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the hyphens.
How has that helped or probably hurt you to pursue both things at once?
Well, it's funny because sometimes, because what I was mentioning that it might not make a lot of sense for you to bring up that podcast because I was surprised to find that a lot of my music fans just have no interest in wrestling whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing is like sometimes doing a bunch of different shit helps, sometimes doing a bunch of different shit hurts. But like it... Overall, it's good for my career because everything I do is so niche that mm-hmm. it's like when I have my shows, people come to me and may have heard me because I was on WTF or heard me because of the wrestling podcast or heard me because, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a bunch of different reasons why somebody might have heard about me, but they don't often get like the whole picture.
How many options are there total? Do we know?
Like
four.
I think the one I liked was the first one we heard.
Oops. So moments ago, you recorded this really awesome rap.
Well, thank you.
As a response, I guess, to the question we asked Christian, which was as a immigrant, what is sometimes that you felt out of place here? And
every day.
So, and you touched on a lot of themes in yours. I think a lot of creative people go deal with like imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
I'm on the outside looking in. I'm surprised my mouth is wide as Brooklyn is. I look lost, of course I won't look within. Just act, relax, and rap till the hook begins. I feel lost when the gifted musicians talk. My only two cents is if the kick is off. And I was feeling...
Tell me about like the thought process that connected like the immigrant experience with that.
Because I think that when we discussed it in the email, like it kind of boiled down to feeling like an outsider.
Right.
I guess my brain just immediately went to like how, like the time I feel that most often is less like a cultural thing and more like a I've made some weird decision where I'm surrounded by a bunch of really cool people and I'm like, why am I here and when are they going to find me out and kick me out of the room? And I made a personal mandate to myself to like rap more about imposter syndrome because everybody I know goes through it and like nobody, especially in the rap world, nobody wants to talk about this shit at all.
No. Truly. Like rap music is all about imposter syndrome. Yeah. Like it really
that is
I think in a good way. Like it's been so much about like building up and celebrating that it's pretty pretty punk rock to be like, I'm actually gonna talk about feeling like a fraud.
So of the weird rooms you've been in, how do we stack up on level of weird?
Well, everybody's so cool. That it's almost disarming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It is a trick.
I can put my shield down.
No, we're going to stab you. It's going to hurt. It's going to be bad.
I deserve it.
That's pure Tawny, though, not me. I'm very gentle.
We pretend to be cool. We're like a Trojan horse. Like, the outside's cool and, like, fun t-shirts, and then the inside's just knives and judgments.
Well, that's the way I'd prefer to die, actually, is when I thought everything was going to be cool and then just get murdered blindly. I think that's the way to go.
Can we keep that one? And I'm just going to try one more for safety and shits and giggles and safety shits
and giggles is what I'm calling this take.
What other weird rooms have you been in? Can you name names? I was just in one with you, but I don't know if we can drop the names that were in that because the thing isn't out yet.
Well, yeah. I can't say the main name yet, but that was another situation because Tawny did a guest appearance in a music video I shot for this New Negroes television show we're working on, and we had a really... In my life, huge guest collaborator on this song. And like...
A pretty intimidating figure, I have to say.
I'm telling you, it's all I could think about.
See, like, now that people have to go watch because we're talking so much about it.
My first interaction with him, we were all sitting around that table. And he came in and this is before we had greeted or said, shook a hand, anything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, who wrote that song? I was like... And he's like, oh, it's tight. I might need a verse from you. I'm like, oh. And then I couldn't move for like 20 seconds after he left. But it's that kind of thing where, you know, I end up in rooms with people who I admire a ton. And that's how my body experiences it.
Mike, you're the best. I'm so glad we got to work on this together.
Yeah, I am too. I'm glad you asked me.
I do want you to name our band since you're about to leave.
Yeah.
You know what the song sounds like. We're going to ask someone else for a title, but what's the name of our band?
Oh, God.
I know. I put you on the spot.
This is really hard.
Uh-huh. Yep. But this is where the magic happens.
Furniture Store.
Yeah!
Furniture
Store! Yeah!
Yes.
Thanks, Mike. Track's recorded. It's in the can. It's in the basket. It's up the wazoo. It's down the alley, and it's out in the street, and it's in the graveyard. Now it's time to mix. Christian played this mandolin part, and in order to nest it along with the electric guitar, do you like that verb I used, Alex? Nest.
I do.
It's nestled in there.
After listening to it back, I was like, I don't know if this wants to necessarily live as a mandolin in the mix. Let's kind of think of it as a washy guitar part. So I ran it through an amplifier simulator with has like some trem and delay. So it's like washy and psychedelic. So psychedelic mandolin.
Psychedelic mandolin. Hashtag trem life. I like a stacked male vocal. I'll go with that to my grave. I don't know why I'm dying.
That is one thing about you.
One thing about me is I like a stacked male vocal. So we stacked Christian's voice on top of himself in two different octaves.
Talking like I always do.
But all my words are wrong to you.
We did the same thing in the second verse, but this time with me, because I am a narcissist and I wanted to sing. And then we said, why do the same octaves? Let's get an even lower one. And we put Eric in there.
Living where I don't belong. Might be time for something wrong.
Eric laid down this drum pattern, and we knew we wanted to switch it up in order to fit more effortlessly underneath Mike's rapped verse, so it sounded like this.
So Open Mike Eagle told us during recording that he doesn't usually do doubles, which means he doesn't usually rap with himself to make that doubled sound
pizza,
that you hear
pizza.
A lot. Pizza, pizza.
Is that a double?
But that's two pizzas.
Okay, cool.
But that's not two voices.
Cool. It'd be like if someone said pizza, pizza at the same time I said pizza, pizza.
Want to try it?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Pizza, pizza, pizza.
Though Mike doesn't usually do those doubles, he let us get a, what I call a whisper take. So basically of him repeating a phrase, but in a whisper.
Is your real or impostering? Stop or you reveal your incompetence.
So this is what a whisper over top of, are you real or impostering? Sounds like.
Is you real or impostering? Stop or you reveal your incompetence.
I love it.
I think it's so cool. It's so creepy. I love it.
We have a name for our band as given to us by Mike, but we do need a name for this song. And I am going to turn to Eric.
Thank
Put
God.
On the spot.
I was like, oh God, don't choose me.
Ooh, okay. Okay, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. This is your moment, man.
No, there was a phrase that was being kicked around earlier that I really liked.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. We had a phrase kicking around.
Proud Boy Grows Up
no,
to Be
something
Trap
approach,
Man.
Something approach.
A Junkyard Approach.
Junkyard
pardon,
Approach.
Pardon my Junkyard Approach.
Pardon my, yeah. I like Pardon My Junkyard Approach. Is that okay?
Pardon My
I love
Junkyard
that.
Approach. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And then Christian, do you want to like do the radio kickoff?
Yeah. Yes, I do. God, there's a lot of words in this.
Also, pardon, I think a very Canadian word.
Yeah, totally.
So polite.
Totally.
Pardon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the dulcet tones of Furniture Store in Pardon My Junkyard Approach. Feel lost when the gifted musicians talk. My only two cents is if the kick is off. But I was feeling legit until we kicked it off. And then my inner critic begins to whisper soft. Is you real or imposturing? Stop or you reveal your incompetence. Thin skin, pretend confidence. What
was a really accomplishing. Forget everything that came before. Hella thankful for a seat at the table though.